Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. I want to be part of that army. I am. I am part of it. I'm going to be and going to continue to be all the days of my life. How about you? That means you're going to have to be willing to look odd sometimes. True. You're going to have to walk a different path than the majority of the Christians. Walking in the Spirit tonight. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. That's what we're talking about. Scripture says if we live in the Spirit, we ought to walk by the Spirit. If I'm spiritual, if I'm born again of the Spirit, then I ought to walk by the Spirit. So if we live in the Spirit, we ought to walk by the Spirit. Practical, every day. Are to handle my money by the Spirit. My marriage ought to be by the Spirit, ought to be Spirit-led. How I raise my kids ought to be Spirit-led. How I do business ought to be Spirit-led. Yep. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, said something very interesting. He said one of the greatest tragedies in Christendom or the church is to do a Jesus thing in an un-Jesus way. We can do Jesus things, but not in the Jesus way. That's not being led by the Spirit. You've been in church before, and sometimes churches sometimes can be doing a Jesus thing, but not in the Jesus way. Behind the scenes, the leadership's not getting along. The leadership doesn't treat each other right. They don't walk in love. They can be doing a Jesus thing. Not the Jesus way. That's a tragedy. Amen. You're not walking by the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. You're living by, you're born in the Spirit, but you're not living or walking by the Spirit. I think that's a very powerful statement.
It is.
That stuck with me when I heard that. So, when you're walking in the Spirit, have you noticed a difference? When you're walking in the Spirit and when you're not walking in the Spirit, have you noticed the difference yourself? I mean, when you walk in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit, you notice the difference. When you're not walking in the Spirit, you're more edgy, you're irritable, you're grumpy, you may be quick to snap, you may be quick to run your mouth where you shouldn't, you may react in a way that you wouldn't if you were in the Spirit. It's a big difference, isn't it? About three or four of you know. The rest of you are always walking in the Spirit, I know.
Yeah.
So, we know that walking in the Spirit is really the easier life, the better life. Walking in the flesh is hard. And you wind up paying consequences that you wouldn't have to pay if you were walking in the Spirit. Amen or oh me. Look at the scriptures talk about people who walked with God, that the scripture describes their life as they walked with God. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. That's awesome. Scripture described Enoch's life as a man who walked with God. He didn't die physically, you know that? He walked with God straight on to heaven. That's amazing. He walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. These people were experiencing adventure that we all admire and read about in the Bible and say, boy, I want that. And it's available to you. We keep adding to that list. We ought to have Gary walked with God. Rich walked with God. Lisa walked with God. We walked with God. That ought to be our name. That's awesome. We can do that. A walk with God, you will automatically experience opposition from the world, the flesh, and the devil. You got enemies when you are walking with God. You got enemies. You got opposition. It's not going to be without opposition. And like Bill Johnson said, there's no such thing for a Christian to expect unopposed spiritual progress. You're going to have opposition. And so we get that from the world we live in. The world is anti-Christ. You know that, right? The world system, the world way, the pressure you get is from the anti-Christ world system. And then we have our own flesh that, even though we're born again of the Spirit, our flesh is not born again. Our flesh, our physical senses and stuff, they have their own appetites, and they've been in charge of your life, most of your life, and the flesh wants its own way. So we deal with that. And of course, we have an enemy. God's adversary is our adversary, the devil. And then we see in Galatians 5, 17 and 18, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Lust means just strong desire. There's just strong opposition there. The Spirit against the flesh. So these are in opposition to one another so that you do not do the things you please. You always feel this opposition. But if you're led by the Spirit, notice, led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So you know that walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, the same thing. They're synonymous. If you're walking by the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit. I'm going to look at just five. It's just five. There's many, many ways. Five ways the Spirit leads us to do the will of God. Number one, the Holy Spirit will show or quicken a scripture to your spirit. Have you ever had that happen to you? Someone say something. Maybe you're reading in the Bible. You see it somewhere, and that scripture just is quickened to you. It just comes alive to your spirit just picks up on, somehow I just know that I know that God wanted me to see that. He wanted me to hear that. He wanted me to think on that. And the Bible says about the Bible that the word, thy word, is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And God will lead you by the Spirit, by his word. It's a lamp unto the path. Which way am I to go, God? Which direction do you want me to go? And then as you search the scriptures, as you read the scriptures and so forth, the Holy Spirit will just sometimes highlight a word to you. And it'll just stand out to you. And you'll know that the Holy Spirit's talking to you. When Pam up in Tennessee, my wife, when she snapped at whatever it was that snapped in her knee, I started praying. I said, Lord, lead us to what you want us to do about this. I don't want to be, you know, doing this and that and everybody's advice, but what do you want? Lead us, God, to what you want to do. And as I was journaling and writing that down in my journal, at the bottom of the page, there's different scriptures on every day, and it just happened to be that day, the scripture in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you, I will teach you the way you're to go. I will guide you with my eye. That was God quickening a word to me that I needed at that moment. He's saying, I'll guide you, I'll show you, I'll teach you the way you're to go. A lot of people would say, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, it's too late to tell me that. And it should be too late to tell you that. You know that's God's Spirit some way quickening a word to you. And then I shared that with Pam, and a day or two later, she shared a scripture with me, Psalm 16, verse 11. I forget why she shared it, and I said, there it is again. Scripture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let something be established. God is telling you, Pam, and telling me that he's going to show us the path to go. So we claim that, we grab those and we hang on to them and we think on them and we pray them and we confess those things. And that God is true to his word. So that right now, while we're waiting for the manifestation of God's promise, he said that he, by his stripes, we are healed. We claim that even though she may be in pain or not see any physical change, we claim God's leading us. God's already given us a word. He's instructing us. He's teaching us in the way we're to go. So we claim that. We're being led right now. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know, but God's leading us. So God quickens words to you, and he doesn't tell you the end of the story necessarily, how the outcome's going to look. It's like you. You know, have you ever watched a movie that just thrilled you, and you watch this movie and you say, oh, man, Bruce, you got to watch this movie. And I want you to see this movie. Well, instead of you watching the movie, why don't I just tell you the end of it? No, I want you to experience the movie, the adventure of going from here to there. You want to see the movie. You're going to see some twists and turns where you look, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But then, you know, I want you to see the movie, not just tell you the end of it. That's the way God is with us. He already knows the outcome. But he gives us a little instruction, a little encouragement here and there, because this is going to be part of our teaching process. This is going to be part of our learning process. This is going to be part of our adventure, walking with God through this. And then one day we'll have a testimony like Brenda when she went through the Guillain-Barré and all that stuff that she went through, and had to be some very depressing and discouraging times in her and Richard. And now they have a testimony of the outcome. But you had to go through the process. It was the movie in the making. Yes. And it's that's may not be the part we enjoy going through, but it's part of the adventure that God wants us to have. And so there you are. And that's one of the way God leads us. He just quickens the scripture to us to say, hey, I got this. I'm going to show you. I'll teach you. Don't get in fear. Another way that the Spirit leads us, because the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in the Spirit, so He's got to lead us. Another way is, you know, all of you already know already, is having peace or a lack of peace about something. Supernaturally, that's how God guides us. It's one of the ways that he guides us. And scripture for that is Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ, or peace of God, rule or umpire, make that decision in your life. And it's like a traffic light. You know, you have a red light, you have a yellow light, and you have a green light. And when you have the peace of God about a situation, what color of light is that?
Green.
It's green. You know, okay, I can move forward with this. I can take the next step. Another way that the Holy Spirit leads us, so we can walk in the Spirit, Richard, in this life, because he wants us to walk by the Spirit, so he's going to be leading us. And how do we know? Is this God leading me? One of the ways we grow in this particular area is called perception. Perception of the Spirit, or the Spirit giving you some perception. And perception is, you just know that you know something. Now, I want to say this. It's the accumulation of knowledge. It may be that you got some inside information from somebody. You might have got a piece of information from somebody else. And so you start to string it together. And this is you're perceiving that this is the will of God. Now, you have to be careful for this, because perception is not 100%.
Amen.
Perception is not 100%. When something is of the Spirit of God, it's 100%.
Amen.
Only Jesus had that 100% perception, that accumulation of knowledge. For example, in John chapter 6, verse 15, Jesus perceived the people there were wanting to make him the king, and that's what they were about to do. They were going to come together and make him the king, and he slipped away. He perceived that, but because Jesus is Jesus, he perceived it 100%, but he slipped away so that they couldn't carry out their plan. Another example is in Acts chapter 14, verse 9. Paul was preaching, and there while he was preaching, he perceived this man that he just kept seeing. He just kept drawn to him. He perceived that this man had faith to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And he put things together. He put this together, A with B and C. And of course, it came about that this man had the faith to be healed. And Paul even said, I perceive that you have the faith to be healed. And the man responded, and of course, the man was healed. But perception is not always 100%. So that's why we as humans have to, we use perception, but and the Spirit may be leading you to see a little bit here, a little bit there, but you know, it's not 100%. You still have to depend upon the Lord to lead you and show you each step of the way. The next way that the Holy Spirit leads us is through the Holy Spirit gift of discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, spirits, S, plural. And God will give, as needed, the ability of the Holy Spirit to discern a spirit. Spirit is of God or a spirit is not of God, a demonic spirit or whatever. And the example here is in Acts chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. There was a woman walking around following Paul and his partner in ministry, and she was saying, "These men are from God. Listen to them. They're telling us the way of salvation." She was saying a Jesus thing, but Paul perceived, or not perceived, he discerned that it wasn't the Jesus way. She was being led by a demonic spirit to say, "These men are of God," which was true. And she was drawing a crowd of people. But Paul had the discerning of the Spirit to realize the Spirit that she was speaking from was not the Holy Spirit. It was witchcraft. And so he discerned by the Holy Spirit that she was not of God, even though she was saying the right thing. Has that ever happened to you before? You heard someone say the right thing, but the Spirit of God on the inside is telling you something's not right here. They're saying the right thing, but something's just not right about them. And Paul had the gift of discerning of spirits, a gift of the Holy Spirit, and he cast a demon out of this woman. Of course, she was a slave girl, and her owners didn't like that, and so they came and caused all kinds of persecution for Paul. I love an old saying by Bob Mumford I heard years ago, a rule of discernment. He said, this is a good rule of discernment. There ain't nothing wrong, but something ain't right. You hear me say that often. I use it. That's true. Because sometimes I don't know, you know, specific details, but I just know something ain't right about this person. Something ain't right about this situation. Something ain't right. And you better listen to that, because that could be the Holy Spirit giving you an air of that, you know, you may be hearing all the right things, but something ain't right. You need to slow down. And then number five, and there's multitudes of ways God can lead us, but I'm just giving you some of the five that you're familiar with. One is learning how to listen to your own heart. Really listen, if your heart's right with God. When your heart's right to God, with God, you can listen to your heart. People often say, "Well, what about that scripture in Jeremiah where it says the heart's deceptive?" Well, that was Old Covenant. See, Jesus didn't live in the heart. But now you're born again. If you're born again, Jesus lives in your heart. You can trust your heart if you're walking with God. But in the Old Covenant, you couldn't trust your heart. It was deceptive. But now you can. So when the scripture there in Acts 16, when Paul and Timothy went through the land of Galatia, it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And they tried to go to Bithynia, which is modern-day Turkey, but the Spirit did not allow them. How did they know? The Spirit did not, in their heart, it was like, God doesn't want us to do this. It's just, The only thing I can give you that I brought to my memory when I was preparing this message for you is this, that I remember when the time came to get out of the Marine Corps and I had to make a decision, what are we going to do? And my decision was I'm going to get out and we're going to go home and I'm going to try to go to college. And when we moved back to Daytona Beach, I went out to the junior college, Daytona Beach Community College, and it was the day to register for classes, and that's why we did all that we did to get there so I could start going to school. I went on the campus of Daytona Beach Community College, and I had the most awful feeling in my heart that I just didn't belong there. I mean, that's why we moved. That's why we moved to Daytona. And so my plan was to move there and do 2 years of community college and then transfer to another college and then you know, carry out my plan. But the day I walked on the campus, it was like, you don't belong here. I mean, I didn't hear a voice, but it was just an awful, awful, like, you don't belong here. I think that that's what Paul and Silas, or Paul and Timothy, felt. I felt that they just, I believe that they had a similar thing, that just somehow the Lord was saying, no, I don't want you to go. This was your plan. You were going to go preach the gospel and start churches over in Turkey, but I don't want you to go. I think it was the same type of thing. Has anybody here ever had anything like that? Thank the Holy Spirit for warning you and stopping you from proceeding with your plan. And that your heart was sensitive enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that. So the Holy Spirit will speak, just lead you in your heart. And this was just a feeling. That's the only way I know how to describe it. And we usually don't trust feelings, but that's what I remember in my heart. And I think that was a similar experience they had. And you've had a similar experience yourself. So back to being led by the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not hard. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to try hard to walk in the Spirit. No, it's not hard. Walking in the flesh is hard. Walking in the Spirit is easy. You were created to do this. Now you're born again. Okay. If you just go by your flesh, your five senses, I don't need to write those out, the five senses, you know, sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste. If you just did whatever pleased your flesh, whatever you want to eat, you eat. Whatever you wanted to do, you do. If you, your sexual appetite, if whatever you wanted to have sex, you just had it. You had no restraint. You gave yourself to every pleasure. That's what King Solomon wrote about in Ecclesiastes. He found out that everything, he at one time said, I'm just going to give myself to every whim, every pleasure I want. And he went and did it, and he wasn't satisfied. It didn't please him. But if you were to give yourself over to pleasing your flesh and letting your flesh have whatever it wanted, do you know what you'd be following? The Satanic Bible. One time I found a copy of the Satanic Bible. And as soon as I found it, I thought, oh, I got to get rid of this thing because this, you know, it's evil. And instead, I started looking through it. I said, well, what is in this thing? I want to see. So I started perusing it and looking through it and reading some portions of it stuff. And my head didn't spin around and I didn't puke out any green vomit. Nothing to be afraid of. I read enough of it to see very clearly. You know what the Satanic Bible is all about? Have any of you ever read the Satanic Bible? You don't have to. You'll know what I'm talking about. It basically is this. It's saying, give yourself to anything you want to give yourself to. Wow. Don't withhold yourself. Don't restrain yourself. Whatever you want to do, do it. You want to do this, do that. And basically, that is self-destruction. Satan knows that if you'll just give in to every one of your whims and every one of your desires that you have in you, you'll destroy yourself. If you eat everything you want to eat when you want to feel like eating it, you'll die quickly. If you give in to every sexual desire you have, you'll destroy your life and many other lives. So it's just basically self-destroyed. You'll ruin your life and you'll ruin other people's lives. That's what the Satanic Bible is all about. I was surprised. It wasn't anything like I expected it to be. And so if you just give yourself over to the flesh, if you just let the flesh continue to have its way and dominate your life and you give in to all the fleshly pleasure, you're actually destroying your life. You're killing yourself. Satan doesn't have to kill you. You kill yourself. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 19. It says the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are these. It's interesting. It starts off with sexual things. The works of the flesh are adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery, the word there for sorcery is actually the word pharmakia, drugs. Hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, complaining. Amen. And critical. False doctrine, just things that are not right, error. Envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and the like. There's so much more it talks about. And he says, I warn you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not what? Now, it's not talking about going to heaven. This is talking to Christians. Remember we talked about the kingdom of God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's the kingdom of God? It's the dominion of God, the domain of God, the rule of God. Now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is now. And he says, you won't inherit the kingdom. He's not talking about going to heaven. You won't inherit now. What's an inheritance? You receive something that someone else purchased for you after they die. Jesus already died, so you could have the kingdom now. Jesus already died, so you could have abundant life now. Jesus already died, so you could have righteousness now, sanctification now, freedom from the curse now, healing now, provision now. Jesus already died, for your inheritance is to be received now. But if you walk in the flesh by your own choice instead of the Spirit, you won't inherit the kingdom, the dominion, the rule of God now in this life. You'll forfeit it. And yet it's right there available to you. You'll live a self-destructive life. As a Christian, you can live a self-destructive life, and miss out on the inheritance Jesus died for you to have right now. You know, in Luke 12:32, Jesus said these words, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wasn't talking about heaven, he's talking about now. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now. Abundant life is now, not heaven, it's now. It'll be heaven easily. You won't have the flesh, you won't have the world, you won't have the devil to deal with. But you can have that piece of the kingdom life right now.
Sounds great.
It's offered to you. It's like it's within reach. It's right there. You want it? You got to take it. By faith. And you start walking in the Spirit.
Doesn't matter.
Walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith. Walk in the kingdom right now. You can't live and enjoy the kingdom of God right now while living in the flesh. If you're letting your flesh dominate. Because they're in opposition with one another. Flesh and spirit, they clash. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world clash. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but in contrast to all this, that's what the word but means, the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the fruit. It's not the fruits. It's the fruit, singular. Love. And love is manifested in joy, in peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. That's what love is. Love is manifested in those ways. So it's the fruit of love, the fruit of a relationship with perfect love, who's God. So look at your life right now. What's been manifest today in the last 24 hours? The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit, which is love? What's been manifest? You can look and see. I can't look and see. You could fool me. I could fool you. But you could look in your own life. Is there the fruit of the Spirit or is there the works of the flesh? Well, and then you might need to change some gears. So if we live by the Spirit, let us go forward walking by the Spirit. Amen? It's not hard. If you want to walk by the Spirit, you can walk by the Spirit right now. If you want to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you can have it right now. Before you leave this building. Do you need joy?
It's the best thing in the world.
Do you need some joy? Do you need some peace?
Just take negativity out of our life.
Take negativity out of your life. That's true. But fruit is something that grows. It's not something you work. It's not something you manufacture. The works of the flesh are things that you do. But the fruit of the Spirit is just something that grows as a result of not trying harder, but as a result of from the inside to the outside of just having this relationship with God. That you're enjoying Him right now, this moment, and He's enjoying you.
Funny, you spoke perception tonight.
Yeah.
For the past week, I've been thinking about that word perception.
Perception?
And how everyone's perception, no matter who that is, different than the next person.
Absolutely.
The same exact thing and have complete different ideas about what's being said.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I had a man one time tell me something that shocked me. He said to me, he said, you know, I have a glass eye. And I said, you're kidding. I could never tell. That's a really good one. And he said, he reached in his pocket and pulled it out. I said, no, see,
this is
I have a glass eye. Your frame of reference, your perception was that I meant here,
right.
Which was wrong. I meant I had one in my pocket.
Perception is so important.
How do Christians grow the fruit of the Spirit? Not by working hard, not by trying hard. It grows just from a love relationship on the inside, and it grows easy. It just grows natural. You don't have to try. It's just an automatic thing. Like right now, I can choose to let this love of God for you come out. Or I can choose not to. But I choose to let it come out. You can do that in your marriage. You better be doing it in your marriage. Noah Webster was a Christian man. Did you know that? Noah Webster, the man who wrote the dictionary. A strong Christian man. Do you know how he got inspired to write the dictionary? From his wife. It was why. His wife kept saying to him, every time he'd say something, she'd say, now what does that mean? And he said, I think I better write a dictionary. Don't write that down. That's not true. Okay, I'm just kidding with you. Walking in the Spirit, walking in love, walking in the kingdom. It's to be done now. It's not wait to heaven. It's to be done today. It's to be done in your everyday mundane life. It's to be done at home with each other tonight when you go home. It's to be done with your neighbor. It's to be done in your business. It's right now. You inherit the kingdom right now. And so Paul said, If we live by the Spirit, let us also what? One step at a time. Amen. That's it. Let's stand. Thank you, God. We can walk by the Spirit. We can walk in the kingdom. And we can walk in love. And by faith, I choose to do that right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for leading us, Brian, tonight in worship. Thank you.